Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back to Mission Accepted. What kind of missions are you taking on today? I am so excited. We have an incredible guest for you that is colorful. She's a very colorful lady. All right. Look, if you've never been to Mission Accepted, here's what we do here. We talk about the mission of what it's like to take it on. You know what? When you decide to be an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur, which is people are like, what is an entrepreneur? There's some really cool names for entrepreneurs like Potentialite. There's another one. It's crazy entrepreneurs that start to build a plethora of products or services that they want to take to market, can do multiple different things in the same sector or different sector. And then our amazing creatives, our singers, our dancers, our journalists, our authors, and then of course, media, just like what we're doing right now. So self-funded media. Anyways, it is really, truly all the same thing. It comes from a place of gumption or crazy. It's different for everybody. Some people plan this out and they're like, they went to university and they made their business plans and they've got an MBA. And some people got forced into it because their best friends said, let's get into business together. And, you know, that's how it is. So anyways, what we do is we talk about the highs, the challenges, the ups and the ups from Generation Z all the way to double boomers. And so thank you for showing up today. And I got to tell you, I always tell you guys that you are the best podcast audience ever. And I'm telling you, we just got our stats in and you are killing it. You know what? Crazy. Call me crazy. Maybe because I have I painted my fingernail green for this walk across Ireland. But you know what, you guys? Ireland is our second favorite podcast ever. They're like, Ireland's just ranking it up. They're sharing the love. So thank you so much out there. I don't know whether you're drinking and you find us funny or you love our business advice, but thank you so much. And you guys are sharing. Our numbers are just going through the roof and we're so grateful. You know why? Because I know what we do here makes your business better. I know what we do here makes you laugh and giggle because you know what? You're not the only one that's got crazy in their life. And this is a great segue into introducing Katie, because I met Katie at a media conference not too long ago in Orlando, and she was sitting in the back of the room and the presenter was doing her thing. And they had synergy between them because they do lots of work together. And Angel would come up and she'd be given some great information on something. And then Katie would go and you'd hear this like bubbly, exuberant voice from the behind the scene adding in. And I was like, man, that's good stuff. I'm going to write that down. So Katie, welcome to Mission Accepted.
I accept. Thank you.
I accept the mission. And that's exactly what I'm going to ask you. Like, what were you doing before you decided that you were going to go out on your own and make your own way in business? Like, where do you come from? What's your story?
Great question. What was I doing before I decided to go out on my own? I had a perfectly sexy sales career. I was in an industry that I'd been in for a while. So I was raking in the dough. And then one of the guys that I had learned that business from, which is professional services, called me up and said, I'm thinking about going out on my own. And this is the guy that was like the mentor to me for this industry. I was like, oh my gosh, really? He's like, yeah. And I wouldn't want to do it with anybody other than you. Do you want to go start a business? That's how it all started. And I was like, yes. So we decided to do that. And that led to my next business, which I was and my next business partnership that was like 2.5 years in the making, went to a $6 million run rate when I gave it all up for the glory of teaching business owners how to make more money for themselves and embrace their number one inner salesperson.
All right. And that's why she calls herself the sales catalyst. Let's talk about the word catalyst a little bit, because The people that come to you are obviously in need to, I don't know, shift or have a catalyst in their business, or they're looking for more, or they're looking for different, or what, you know, what's going on for people in business right now? Like, what, why do they go to you, and what is this catalyst thing about?
So, catalyst really is a movement. It has to do with movement, right? Sales Uprising, which is my company, my tagline is where revenue moves you. So if you think about those things, you know, a lot of people have, admit it, podcast family, you have feelings about selling. And so when Deb talks about sales and how great it is and all of these things and every business needs it, I know some of you are sitting there going, oh, I hate sales. I don't want to be pushy. You know, all of these like internal demons. And so the reason why I'm called the Sales Catalyst is because even if you aren't a client of mine or you're just listening to a talk, what I get, the feedback that I get more often than not, even a week later or 2 weeks later, is, Katie, I heard you and you have literally made my sales go up. Like, whatever it was I heard, or the perspectives that I've now, you've changed for me when it comes to sales, have moved my business forward. And so that's why I'm called the Sales Catalyst.
All right. Good, good, good. So what does people do? I mean, so people love what they do. They want to be successful. Sales, we know, is a part of it, right? We want to be sold to. I always share with people, I'm like, when you go into a store and you're looking for a couch, or you're looking for something that you know that you're looking for, it's more annoying than not to not have someone come up and go, can I help you? Would you like some, you know, would you like some advice on that? And so we're all searching for that salesperson until we want, till we are one. And then for some reason, we think we're annoying. I'm like, take yourself back to that store that, you know, started in Sweden, and walk in and try to buy a couch and no one's around. And you're like, where is that person that's going to help me? And it gives perspective. But so people come to you, what are most people's hangups in being able to get their revenue up?
Well, so here's, here's another look at another perspective, right? Katie, I don't want to be a snake oil salesman, or I don't want to be pushy. So I'm going to hate to do this to you guys, but I'm going to call you out in a really, really big way. One, snake oil salesmen sell stuff. They have clients who love them and love their snake oil. So unless you sell their snake oil, you're never going to be them. First of all, the people who say to me, I don't want to be pushy. You would literally, if you met them, you would have to put them in a class on how to be pushy before they could ever actually be pushy.
That's so funny.
Right. Well, you've met them, like, oh my gosh, I would never want to push myself on someone. So here's the thing, you guys, I've been in sales my whole life. I'm 46 years old. The first job I ever took was as a campfire girl. It's like Girl Scouts. But not, we sell candy. And at 7 years old, I'm walking up and down my neighborhood streets being like, hey, you want some almond roca, which is the best stuff ever, by the way. I highly recommend it. Makes you feel really fancy. Comes in a gold wrapper. And it would never occur to me that I was being pushy. All I'm doing is asking. I can walk away after somebody says no, or I can say, are you sure? You really don't have anybody in your family that could use these mints. You know what I mean? Like, you're allowed to ask questions. Is it pushy to ask questions?
Right.
You know, one, people love to talk about themselves, Deb. Don't know if you knew that, but they do. You know what allows people to talk about themselves? Questions. Just saying. So it's not that, that's all in your head. The other reason why my company is called is because I literally need these business owners to have an uprising in their own head against their own mental demons. Like, think about the idea of like throwing your fist in the air and being like, fooey on you. I know you just want me to stay safe, and safe is broke. I'm a business owner. I need to make money. So they need to have their own like internal sales uprising, right?
Awesome. That's it. Yeah, honestly, that's so great. Cause I can literally visualize that while you're saying that. You're like, you've got your hand up and your fist up, for those of you that are just tapping into the audio. But so, you know, having that, like that fist inside, I mean, you got into business for a reason, because you probably really loved and feel you bring value to people.
There is a rainbow of fruit flavors when it comes to what business owners need to pay attention to. I will just always have them focus on their sales first. because that's the beginning and end of it for me. If you need focus on your systems, you want to know what's going to fix that? More sales so you can buy more systems if that's what's needed. You need to hire an admin. You know what's going to fix that? Revenue so you can hire that employee. And so, of course, we are going to make sure that they have good quality foundations for their business, but not all businesses need all of those things at the exact same moment. But what all businesses need all the time is revenue.
Right. Very good. Very good. Very good. So tell us something, let's completely go off the trail here a little bit. So you've had success. And when you say things like 6 million, it really perks up the ears of people that are, I mean, honestly, even people that don't have their own business, they're like, wow, is that really possible? So you've obviously had a nature for sales, right? But what's it like to build a business? Like as an entrepreneur, I mean, you were having success, you exchanged your success with someone else to exchange on your own. Would you do it again? I mean, obviously you're here, but like, what else is there to the business other than the actual sales part of it for you? Like, what are the functions, or what is it that you love, or would you do it again? You know,
I will always bet on me. So yes, I would do it again. Mm-hmm. 100% all day, every day. This is my third business. What I would tell you is that there is nothing like business ownership to make you realize that you need to improve in all areas of your life. Mm-hmm. If you want to be the best business owner you personally can be, then it really does have to do with everything. Unlike being a boots on the ground salesperson for a corporation or a small business where you're hawking someone else's wares, right? Even though it's your face and your name, like I don't have to be healthy to do that. My business development could look like sitting at a bar at 5:30 every night and having all my clients come see me and getting home way late and then getting up way early to go start it all over again, which as a business owner, you can't afford to do. You don't function for your business. It's when we talk about, you wear all the hats all the time. And this is true. Even if you have a team, your hats just look different. So I needed to, one of the crazy, it's going to sound crazy. I know it is going to sound crazy, but was to take care of myself. Like it didn't ever occur to me. I had all the bandwidth in the world when I was an employee. Mm-hmm. As a business owner, try giving a 2-day retreat when you haven't taken real good care of yourself. It's not going to work real well for you. So absolutely, it was to bring the focus instead of externally, which was my life. My whole life was about my clients and potential clients and people that I just met networking and referring them great business and creating juicy, deep relationships with as many humans as I could possibly stand. And that's still true for my business, but I also need to make sure that I sleep and I eat healthy so that I can do all of that. And it was a real eye-opening kind of thing.
You know, I sit here and I laugh. People are like, what's so, she's talking about sleeping. But if you have the, you know, the E blood, if you have the entrepreneurial blood, you are also laughing, because as we plan our business, you know, I'm going to say, God have mercy. I don't know who this guy is, but I need to apologize to him, you know, to the world. So here it is. Here's your apology. If you're listening to my podcast, good for you. So I was invited into the Forum of Women Entrepreneurs, which was this, you know, little group of women that were brought in to go through this process for this, for the FWE in Canada. And so they had people come in and speak because they were setting this program. So they had a room full of people like us, right? I was in the throes of building my home party companies. I could see nothing but grandeur every morning that I woke up. You know, I mean, what are we talking, 10 years ago or something? I don't know. And I was in it, loving it, like we are now. And so they brought this gentleman in to talk about succession with this group of women that are in the throes of building their legacy, right? And so interesting, because succession is a concept and succession is something that you do plan for. And what is that succession and what does it look like? Okay, but we're in the throes of it. And so he's doing his presentation, and then all of a sudden he just decides to throw a question, and he throws it to me, and he says, "So when I say succession to you, what does it mean? Give me the first thing that pops into your head." And I go, "Death."
So
that, and he looks at me, and I look at him. You want to talk about ending someone's presentation in 3 seconds? And I was
100%.
I'm sorry, that's the first thing that came to me, but entrepreneurs don't think necessarily about the final end game. I mean, I wasn't building a business to sell. If he had just gone to the right side of the room instead of the left, he probably would still be able to have some self-esteem today. But I just was like, for me, I was thinking of my companies as legacy for my family. I just did a deal this morning, and I'm like, okay, I want this commission to go on surpassing my life. And it's a friend of the family. So he's like, oh, of course. But I guess my point is that we don't think about those things. We don't think when we carve out this beautiful life of entrepreneurship, spas, manicure, getting a manicure becomes a luxury, God, retreat, right? Retreat or taking a 3-day workshop. We're like, 3 days, 3 days.
I'm super busy. And how dare you think I want to leave my business for 3 days, even if it's to better my business? You know, the personal development, the leadership development, the business acumen development, the skill set it takes to be an entrepreneur is, nobody can really know. Even my friends who have their MBA, you'd mentioned at the beginning of the show, right? So you've gotten your MBA. No, not a single MBA who ever said to me, "Katie, I loved my degree. It completely prepared me for entrepreneurship," because an MBA is a master's in business administration, which is a very specific function of business. And of course, it touches your entire business. And throughout that education, you get to learn technically book learning about a lot of different things for business. But being an entrepreneur and actually doing the thing are...
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because it is true. You and I both are in business, and we offer business services and business tools, right? Yes, and so we come up against that conversation probably quite a bit about investing time in themselves, or that concept, or having that support circle, or having a place to go with people to feed from, like, colleagues and those things that take time. And I think, it's important to recognize how that actually ups the game of your business. So you're in sales, and you also have, I know a friend of mine that's going to one of your retreats.
Yeah.
And so they're flying. I mean, that takes time and energy and effort. And what is that like mentally, or what do people come up against themselves? Like, you talk to people about it all the time. So when someone's like, "I'd love to, but I can't."
The question for me is going to be, okay, great. Can you walk me through that decision for you right now? As an entrepreneur, I think one of the things we never thought we would deal with so much is our fear. I know I didn't, right? I know I am very secure in my salesperson self. I have seen more comp plans, that's commission plans or compensation plans, because I was in hiring for 10 years. I feel very comfortable with my 10,000 hours plus of these skill sets. It did not occur to me that I was going to have to be in social media, for example, right? The things that you come up against. And so all of a sudden you question, should I be doing this? Is this the right thing? Or say you've calmed or allayed all of your fears. So you're in a good place with that. You recognize you're going to have to do some things that you're not super comfortable with, especially in the beginning while you're funding your dream, right? So you're in a place that feels super comfortable, but then it's the question of, well, so what's the best thing to do now? Is it go hire a team? Is it invest in my systems? Do I sell more? Do I need to create a whole new website? I've been in business for 3 years. Should I rebrand? There's a constant barrage of people who are happy to tell us how it should be done, all of whom are experts. There's even our who are not experts, let's be clear, are very happy to tell us how it should be done. Because, that's how it works in their company that they've been with for 35 years, which has no bearing on your scenario. And we love you, Uncle Joe, right? that's where that falls. Nobody ever told you that as an entrepreneur, it was going to be really lonely, right? You're up at weird hours of the night coming up with content, or even thinking about the speaking engagement that you have the next night. And there is no one to really call. So being able to hone your own counsel is like number one priority for me as a business owner. You know, we've all being in the business, and I'm sure this is true for you too. There are those people who are on a hamster wheel of continuing investment and learning in themselves. So they never take the time to actually do the lessons or find where they plateau really works, because there's no time to actually do those things. You're paying an expert to give you all the answers and have zero time to make those answers work for you.
Yeah. So there's obviously a rhythm, you know, there's obviously a rhythm, there's obviously a time. And I think by nature, we know that, and it tends to show up in business as uncomfortableness, or it shows up in my sales are dropping, or it shows up in I need to replace clients that have gone, or it shows up in it just shows up. And then where do we go and what do we do? And I think you made a really good point about the whole lone wolf thing, is that there is a sense of loneliness. And I think that's where that personal development comes in, because you can really start to kind of get to know yourself. Here's the interesting thing, is someone who is active in entrepreneurship, sometimes I forget. And I think that happens as well. I was talking to you this morning, or I was talking to a colleague yesterday, and they're like, you know, when you're up against the wall, you can reach out, right? And I think there's something very much like, I'll just deal with it myself. And I think people that think like that, and I'm guilty, I'll be completely transparent. Give me Rome, I'll rebuild it. But sometimes we forget to not be self-sufficient, because the world of entrepreneurship demands that you be able to have some self-discipline, and to actually go and do things like where we met each other on a flight, you know, I had to fly. I think you had to fly, you know, we flew to a place to learn some more skills. Jeff Olson would say it's sharpening your axe, right? So you can go back and chop the tree down quicker.
I would say it's polishing your diamond so you can shine brighter, but yeah.
Yeah. But it's easy to forget if you're an overdoer, right? And then the other part of it is studying too much. And then you need the coach that's going to go, okay, go do the activity and let's see how that worked out.
Yes.
Right? Wow.
I think that way you're, so part of it is also owning our own space for our business. And we won't really know what that looks like until a couple years in and we've learned some lessons, right? Who are you for your business? My clients need to be the number one salesperson for their business. Right. It comes with a couple of other jobs. There's a couple other hats that they have to wear. They probably have to hit the, you know, pay my tax bill too button, you know. But then when you get, depending on what your plan looks like, either annually or for the business as a whole, right? Whether it's legacy, whether it's mergers and acquisitions, whether it's I'm just going to give up the ghost and I call it a day, right? Whatever that looks like for you, if you've even thought of it. Right. Because most of us stop it. It means death, you know.
Yeah.
So if you've even thought of that, understanding and reevaluating where your company needs you most then. Right. So that's one of those higher level business lessons that I think that beginning entrepreneurs want to know right away. But you're never going to know the best place for you. And the best place for you is going to morph and change as you grow throughout your plan.
Absolutely. So let's kind of go a whole different direction.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about life itself. So we make impression upon, you talked about someone being a mentor for you, right? And it sounds to me like sales was a natural, but you probably still had things to learn and know more and what have you, as we all do. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of people make. They'll say, oh, Jeb, I can't do what you do. And I go, I'm not sure. Did you think like when I was born, I came with these three sets of encyclopedia and somehow it just happened that way? Like we get to where we get to by what we do. When I look back in my life, there were certain people that, you know, definitely helped pivot. One was, you know, an amazing Ayurveda guru. Like there was just people that pushed me. She's like, you don't know what I've just taught you until you can go teach it. So now go teach. You know, so how did you become a teacher? Well, my teacher told me that I had to. And I had too much respect for her to not, you know, like that's really kind of how that worked. But has there been people that have made impression upon you, or is there parts of you that you really had to bring to the forefront?
So yes and yes, in different story form, right? So I absolutely have had mentors. I've had a ton of people let me know that how I choose to sell is amazing. And I can see that, you know, you guys, if you're the number one salesperson for your business or for your company or whatever it is, one of the great things about being a salesperson is you already know if you're getting an A, a B, or a C, or you're failing for the day. Like, nobody ever really had to tell me, I knew. And I liked that knowledge. I liked getting an A every day, right? Or if I got a C, going, oh, I got a C, I got to fix that. So it's also a really independent place, being at the top of any sales game for your business or otherwise. So I've always had people who, from a career perspective, have loved that about me, you know, because you make them money, right? Mm-hmm. Being a salesperson in a company is kind of like being a hairdresser at a rent-a-station place. You pay for your own spot to work for that company, and the goal is to make more than what your spot's worth. Like, that's how it works for us. Even if it's a salary, it doesn't matter. Like, salary, commission, bonus, you know, on a draw, all of those things, it's the same thing. So I've absolutely had those people. For me, the thing I think I had to push through is that, you know, every job I ever went into, people asked me what I wanted to be called, what I wanted my title to be. And I always was super proud of the fact that I was a salesperson. And so I wanted to be called a sales chick. Now, don't get me wrong, I was like in my 20s, chick was like, you know, it's probably not the best thing to be known as now. But that's all I wanted to be known as. I wanted to be straight up about it. I didn't want people to think anything else about, I didn't want there to be any mystery about why I was in their life. I didn't feel like I needed to hide from it. And you know, every single time I got a job title, it looked like business development manager, relationship acquisition, you know, executive vice president. None of it ever had anything to do with selling. And I hate that. It made it seem like owning your own salesperson was a bad thing. And I really had to get over that. When I started this company, I had a lovely mentor who said, Katie, if you could do anything, what would you do? And I said, I would teach people that selling is the number one thing you need to do to be successful in the beginning of business. Because most business owners aren't me. Most business owners don't come from a sales background. You know, salespeople tend to stay in sales. We generate lots of money. You get lots of commissions, right, Deb? Ha, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Like, if you're good at selling, you don't ever really need to look outside of that industry to do something else. And so she's like, so why don't you go do that? And you know what I said? I said, nobody wants that. Nobody wants what I have to offer. Because I'm a sales chick. I would want to talk about sales. I see the whole world through a lens of selling, which sounds crazy to people. Right? You go to my LinkedIn page and it says, sales is my love language. They think I'm nuts. Or they come up to me and go, I need some of that. I'm like the Mona Lisa of business coaches. You either love it or you hate it.
That's a good way. That's good. But, and you know what? I have seen the Mona Lisa and I'm like, huh, this is interesting. No, seriously, I was looking and I'm like, I could see how people love it because it's here and it's classic. And I can see why people hate it. Right. Yep. I was like, this is an interesting piece. Now, you know what? Hats off to you. I mean, honestly, I love what you just said. Part of the reason why there's, honestly, I think I'm going to go way out on a limb here, Katie, and you can just reel me back off the stage otherwise, that people feel shame around saying the word, I'm a salesperson, is because we don't even say that we're salespeople. Like, you know, we give people different titles.
We're leaders. We're business owners. We're founders. Yes. We're CEOs. We're entrepreneurs. Yeah. We're entrepreneurs. And I love you very much. And I love the word entrepreneur. But really and truly, at the beginning of every business, we just need to go sell. Because, and what people don't realize, Deb, is that sales is the answer for the success of your business, not just from a money perspective. Right. It has everything to do with understanding your client.
Yeah.
Sales is the best way for you to create marketing that allows your people to hear that you have their answers.
I love it because you know what? I mean, there's titles that we have and there's titles that we give and there's titles that we've earned. And absolutely, I'm a singer. I'm an author. I'm an author. I don't say I sell books. I say I'm an author. But, you know, there's a whole sector. I play in the direct sales industry. And so that whole sector, one of the main issues, honestly, let's get them to your class. Because one of the main issues is that they don't want to sound salesy, like you said. But if you said, I'm a sales representative of ABC Gum Company, instead of I'm a director, I'm a agent, I'm a whatever. We've all got titles. Representative. I'm a consultant. How about sales consultant? Because then people know what you do, and it also puts it into their head. You want those people, you want them to know you're selling, because there's been times where you can have a conversation with someone and say, this is the company that I represent, and these are the products that I represent. And it doesn't register that you actually are looking for customers. Because then you have to overtop that, say, would you be interested in looking at my products? Would you be interested in this? But if you say I'm a sales representative of ABC Company, they know you're in sales products. Yeah.
It's crazy. So think about, there are some pretty well-known, longstanding networking institutions.
You're so good. You're so good.
I did that just for you, so you don't get in trouble on any, you're an international podcast. I don't want to mess up your works. So that are predicated on the concept of building relationships for referral-based business, which I love. Referral-based business is the best that we can possibly hope for. And I want to add an asterisk there really quick. When you are first in business, the majority of your business will be referrals and through word of mouth and the people that know you. Then you're going to have a period of time where that is not the case. And then as you get towards the end of your spectrum, it will happen again. So one of the things that I really dislike is when I go into a room of people and everybody there is like, oh, well, I only do referral-based business. Do you know what I hear? I hear you're either brand new or you're long in the tooth and you're complacent, so you don't need me.
Right.
It's horrible. Like, I will judge you if that's something that you stand on to be proud of. As a business owner, I need all the business. I need the referrals. I need the stuff that somebody just saw on Instagram. Somebody heard Deb's amazing podcast, like whatever it is. I need to continue to build. Referrals are just one way that we do business until we decide we're good and we can just deal with referrals. So I just wanted that to be said, because I don't like it when people think, well, I just need referrals. You don't. You need all the other things too.
Yeah.
Depending on where you are.
Absolutely. But,
now I don't even know why I was talking about that. Oh, so the networking institutions that are about creating relationships. I love that. And it feels like they're predicated on a lie to some extent, because the reason why they're there to create relationships is to get business, because they're salespeople. But we never say this. Some of the people in those institutions are saying, yeah, I'm the sales rep for the institution. I love that. Those are my favorite people. Rock on. Who are you? Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. I'm the CEO. Wonderful. So what else? Well, let's go have 99 coffees and decide if, this is good for you. I love all of that. The best business I have is relationship-based, but it is predicated on the fact that people understand who I am, what my business is, and what I do, which is sell.
Yeah. Yeah. Touche. Touche. All right. Look, I want to ask you, because I'm sure my audience is, because I can hear it. That's just how this works. Woo-hoo. Okay. So people are like, I love what she's saying. And I just talked about a retreat, but I know that you do other things too. We've begun to dig into what each other does, but this is the very cool thing when you kind of put it out there. I mean, entrepreneur, there's a few different ways, I guess one would say, into their castle. So how do people get to play with you? What kind of people should be knocking on your door? Where should they be at in their business? And what can you do for them?
Well, that's not a lot of questions all at once immediately. No. So here, this is what I'll take it really, really slow. Call me 540. No, I'm joking. Although you can, my phone number's on my, I'm really old fashioned. Text me. So I'm a business coach. So when we're the sales castle, right? Hello, Angel Tussie. We love you and all the things that we can do that are in our sales castle. There's an amazing thing. I have a beginning mastermind, and it's for business owners that are looking to get to their first quarter of $1 million. Regardless of where they are, if where they're at is in a place where they make a sexy five figures and they can't stop, I will give you the download for the 7 stumbling blocks to 5 to 6 figures. There's statistically, it's been proven the things that get in our way to making more money. And don't get me wrong. Go download it. It's going to be great. But I'm going to tell you, it's you. It's you as the business owner. Like, I'm going to already give you the end. But it is a great piece. It provides a lot of insight for people. I do have a business owner's retreat. It is my favorite thing that I deliver throughout the entire year, because this is where we, before all of the holidays, although I think Canada has a different Thanksgiving than we do.
Yes, we do. We're in October. We don't like to back-to-back it. And then we don't throw a sale in there in between either.
Preach, girl, preach. Do y'all catch that straight out there? So after your Thanksgiving, but before ours in the US, I host a business owner's retreat. This year, it's going to be in Tempe, Arizona. And this is where you plan out your number one goals and the activities that you are going to take to get there. The reason why I like this is because of some things you've already mentioned, Deb. Like, we get super busy. Who has time to plan? Of course, I'm riding a wave. So say the end of the year is when all your sales come in. That's when everything's hitting. You're not thinking about the success of your next year. You're feeling the success of your next year now, which is not a winning scenario. Because sales is cyclical. So that wave will end up crashing. And then, you know, it's a peaks and valleys thing. Mm-hmm. So you'll find yourself in a valley. So it's my favorite, favorite thing. And it's for business owners who are thinking about starting a business all the way up to, I would say, probably $5 million in revenue. Because what we need to do from a planning perspective is exactly the same. So the things that we talk about are things like millionaire time management. And what does that look like for a business owner who's making 100K? What does that mean? Right. You know, and so that's come see me. Come see me in Tempe, Arizona.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So I don't know if you know how much I love music.
You know, I've heard a little bit, just sometimes.
Well, as long as you haven't heard me singing, then you're all good. Then you're all good. Someone said that to me yesterday. They go, "Do you sing?" And I go, "I sing in the bathroom at least a half an hour a day. I sing all over.
In my car."
Honestly, me and you know, I've just been having the blast. I've been like hanging out with my son lately. I mean, I have my son, but we've been like really hanging. And he is in love. He's 18 and he is in love with all of the music. I go, "Who's your favorite band?" We just did a podcast together with another mom and son. And he's like, "Kiss." And I'm like, "You're my kid. You're so my kid." We were singing Kiss last night as we were planning his business. Anyways, I love music. And I just got to say a big shout out, because for all of you guys that are supporting, please go to theydidittour.ca. It's the place where we, myself and Corrine, are hauling our two chicks across Ireland to raise money for the music industry, which one so needs us. 2, appreciates the arts. And 3, has music not changed your life? Yes, it has, even if it's just one day. So long story short, I loved it before. I even love it now. Don't ask me on day 4 of the marathon if I love it, because the answer is not going to probably be very pretty. I'm like, don't plan any interviews for day 4 or day 5. Plan them day 8. Anyways, I want to know, you're packing up. You know, you're like, done. The world has done everything I wanted to do. And you're going to pack your little suitcase all by yourself. And you're going to head over to a desert island and you get to pack one album with you. What album are you taking, girl?
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
One album. That's horrible. What a horrible
question. What album could you not imagine?
Oh my God. I wasn't prepared for that. I think I like just broke out in a sweat. Only one album. Oh, you know what? fine, I'm taking one of my mixtapes from the 80s.
No, no, dang no. It. You're not the first one that's tried to do that. Or you're, your playlist, people are like, I'm going to take the 1980s greatest hits. And I'm like,
right.
No, you're not. Oh. No, you're not.
So, it is an album, that whole Time Life, you know, our Time Life greatest hits. Okay.
Hey, tell.
So let me think. Give me a second.
All right. Stop sweating. Hey, audience.
Yes. Nice. It's like the Jeopardy music. So I am thinking that I will probably go with an old standard. I'll probably go with Tusk by Fleetwood Mac. Yeah.
Oh, you're my girl.
That's what I would do. Fleetwood Mac.
Good stuff.
My favorite thing is that they came back on tour, right? In DC. Mm-hmm. And I heard you singing, by the way. You want to do it again? Uh-huh. And my husband bought my mom and I tickets to their concert for her 70th birthday. So I actually, since I listened to my mom's vinyl, my mom's the one who introduced me to Fleetwood Mac, I got to listen to that on vinyl. Nice. That I got to take her and see her like shake it to Fleetwood Mac. It's one of my favorite things.
Awesome. See, that's what I mean about music. It's like, I've had vinyl since I was 15. I've had a record player. I never stopped. But when I think about one of the, there's two albums. One is Janis Joplin, Pearl, was the first album I got introduced to from my mother. The other one was the White Album of the Beatles.
Yep. Sexy. Yeah.
So if anyone out there has the White Album of the Beatles, I want it. I want it. I got Janis Joplin on the wall, but I want the White Album Beatles. That would be super cool. So that's everyone's job. Stop what you're doing. And if you want my address, just contact us.
Send us a note.
This is the note to self. Note to self. Look, it was so amazing. Katie, if there's one thing that you could finish off with today, with giving us how to contact you, what would be the one thing that you would give to someone that is in their business, but slightly, they've made it past their first little bit. They kind of know themselves. They're in their groove, but they're frustrated and they're just frustrated. What would you say to them? And then tell us how to reach you.
Wonderful. What I would say to them is don't take it personally. Sales is not about you. The best thing about sales is the data that it provides our business. And that data is the path forward to success. So give yourself some grace, shake it off, go walk around in grass barefoot, read your favorite book, listen to your favorite album, take the rest of the day off, and then come back hitting it really, really hard with no judgment about the successes or failures of that day is what I would say. And then Katie@salesuprising.com. Let's start a conversation.
Very cool. Okay. And we're going to have all of that in the show notes as per. If you want to have your beautiful voice or face on our podcast, you know how to reach out to us, deb@devdrummond.com. So you want to come tell your story. We are looking for people that are from Gen Z. So if there's any of you young ones out there or parents that have a new entrepreneur in your life, feel free to reach out. We'd love to have you on the show. And for those that want to share a book, there is an upcoming book. There's many upcoming books, but this one that I'm going to talk about, we were just sharing about. So I do ones where there's men and women and what have you, but this one is going to be a big launch on International Women's Day in 2023. So you've got some time to throw it together, but it is called Mission Accepted. 262 women putting it together, rocking their legacy and telling all. So if you want to be featured in the book, I'd love to have you. Let's have a conversation. And that will in itself be a movement. Katie, thank you so much for coming on the show. The one thing that I love is that you just put it out on the table, what everyone else is kind of afraid to talk about. And here's the thing, you guys, the one thing that I love about Katie is that even though she's brilliant and she's this, you know, oh, I was just going to say $6 million woman. I did, for those of you that are old enough to remember this, the $6 million man, the bionic man. But the other thing is people can come to you and just go, hey, you know what? I know it looks like to the world I'm making $250,000 and I'm making 60K and I just don't know how to get there. And that's really at the heart of what I think both you and I do is allow people to just go, hey, this is where I am with no judgment. Because I think out there in the world of social media, when we're flashing our cars and flashing our lifestyle and flashing our latest bottle of Dom or what frigging ever, you know, if you're drinking water and lemon at home, but Dom on social media, you can come and talk to us and it's okay. We get
100%.
It.
Do what you gotta, man. But let's right size your life, right? Let's make it so that that dawn's a real thing for you. Yeah. If that's what you're into.
That's what you're into. Okay. Well, thanks for coming onto the show, my dear. And best audience ever. Just keep up the good work. Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Deb. See you next week. Bye.